following program may contain coarse language, suggestive dialogue, and discussion of violent imagery and sexual situations. It is intended for mature listeners who can tell the difference between facts and opinions.
It's Ninja Nonsense on this episode of the Toonami People Podcast. I am your host, Sketch, and with me I have...
Paul Buscrillo, the founder of ToonamiFaithful.com.
Ed.
It's me, Kuro. That's it. That's all I got.
And...
Laser Kid.
See? Not the only one who stumbled
to me. I did that because you did that.
I appreciate it.
I figured
they're
I'd
both
solidarity.
Editorial writers.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Editorial something.
In theory.
In theory.
That's what they say.
Well, this week we're here to talk about some three episodes of Demon Slayer and then the latest episode of Ninja Kamui.
So
let's get right into that Demon Slayer.
Man, yeah. Doki and her incel brother.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I was thinking when I was watching him, and the first thing that came to mind, I was like, man, what a fucking incel this dude is. He doesn't shut up and stop complaining. You're so handsome. You get all the ladies. Like, oh my God, enough.
Did you just say you have three wives?
Who needs that many? And the Nitsu immediately became friends.
I will say
this guy's like the worst version of Zenitsu.
He's the worst, yeah. but whoever does his voice is amazing because it's so grating. It is so grating.
It is perfect. Also, if you watch the subtitled first, because it's the same voice.
That's impressive. I shall go and do that next. I discovered something as I was watching these three episodes that it's actually very rewatchable, and there's little things you notice and appreciate.
Absolutely.
More. This is a very rewatchable series.
I have watched these episodes many times at this point. Pros and cons of being in the Demon Slayer podcast.
So what you're saying, Laser, is you want to watch it 1,000 more times.
I didn't say want to. I said have.
Is this the first time for you, Paul, or also a rewatch?
This was the first time.
Feels like the first time.
In case you were wondering, it's Brandon McInnes, who was Gen... And Dr. Stone?
Yep.
Who's got range?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my
no,
God.
I would never have guessed that had you not told me.
That's amazing. That I am so impressed. Brandon, if you're listening, which you may not, but that was extremely impressive. I'm impressed.
I'm equally as impressed. That is actually
and I'm not
quite
easy.
Range.
I'm really not easy to impress. It's your facts. But yeah, yeah. No offense to Brandon, but he, oh my God, major incel vibes.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's the character for you. Yutaro,
he played the role.
Yeah,
Yutaro is something.
Yeah. He's definitely something.
What a fantastic three episodes. Like, first of all, you get Nezuko, and she, of course, is a treasure, but she goes into sexy demon mode, and she's out there, like, defending her brother and goes into overdrive. But I will say... I have this thing about severed limbs. Like oh my God, I know I've talked about it before, but it really freaks me out. I don't know why this is such a thing in anime. Why? Can we normalize not doing the severed limbs, please? Please, no more. I can't handle it. I can't handle it.
She was regrowing limbs the second they get severed.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's so disturbing. And I get in house logic, but I just can't handle it. But other than that, Nezuko is such a treasure. Love seeing her be such a badass. And then she gets these markings all over her body. And she has the demon blood. What's it called? Demon blood jutsu or whatever it's called.
Demon blood arc.
Yes.
Demon blood arc.
Not blood arc. Blood.
Art.
Art. That's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the beheading thing was a little convenient, and I was greatly disturbed by that moment, in addition to the other beheadings, but just seeing her get.
There was a lot of beheadings in these three episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Doc, she just keeps losing her head.
Yeah. Damn bitch won't die.
No.
No, she will not.
It's like, why is she still talking? Actually, she whined an awful lot when I can't believe you beheaded me. How could you do that?
I'd say too literally too angry to die, but I think it's literally too bitchy to die.
Yeah.
No, she's complaining, and I just was like, just no, nobody cares. Shut up.
Like, save me, brother. It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And he like grew out of her.
Yeah.
He's just been lying dormant all this time.
What's really interesting about the two of them, to be honest, is they're kind of like the dark mirror for Tanjiro and Nezuko. If not for the grace of God, go them. We talked about in the Demon Slayer podcast, so I'm totally stealing from V-Lord here. But when he said that, it stuck with me.
She called them ugly, and I was very offended by that. Tanjiro isn't ugly. Nezuko's not ugly. Like, what are you looking at, lady? How much is your jealous ass thinking Tanjiro is ugly? He's a little cutie pie. He is, with his red hair and his little ear. I think he's adorable. How dare she say he's
precious
ugly.
Boy.
He is precious, damn it. We need to behead her again, just for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't worry, it's going to happen at least one more time.
Yeah.
At least. At least.
Tengen showing up. Oh, that was such a great...
Oh, Tengen is... At this point forward, you're just going to love this man.
I already love him. I have
you're succumbing to the poison. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I feel great. It's starting to sound like Rengoku. Pain is nothing.
Yeah. It was really sexy watching him fight and then watching him sweat.
It's very clear they want you to be reminded of another Hashira that we once knew.
Yes. And since we brought up Rengoku, there's a moment in here where I guess Tanjiro's thinking back to a letter he received from Rengoku's father who talks about how he's a good kid and that both of his sons were very good boys despite having a worthless father. And it's nice to see this guy kind of come around on his stubbornness. But
holy crap, too little too late.
Feels like, why was this inserted here? Just for Tanjiro to have a moment to be like, I'm not special. This scar isn't special. I wasn't born with a special birthmark. It's like, okay.
I'm firmly of the opinion that the scene is here to remind you of the stakes. We could lose another Hashira easily.
Well, that is certainly true.
My heart can't take it.
Yeah.
I can't have that happen
and
again.
I think that's why it's doing that. I think it's trying to psych you out. See if you can push you there and be like, can you take it? And no, I don't think anybody can, because I mean, who doesn't
you
love
can't
this
let
man?
This man die. He has three wives.
Exactly. Who's gonna take care of them? Not Zenitsu, that's for sure.
He may offer, but he can't.
No,
nope.
Not even I don't even think sleeping Zenitsu could handle those three women.
No but okay. Pretty cool that sleeping Zenitsu just wants to have a few words with Doki about how she treated other people. Like, all right, man. Good on you.
I love sleeping Zenitsu. He's hilarious. He's great. He's fantastic.
I always say Zenitsu is my favorite character, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's the sleeping side that I really like. But I do like the character a lot.
Well, it's a great gimmick that he's efficient when he's sleeping and you can like him that way, but you can still be amused by incompetent waking Zenitsu. As long as he's not fighting when it's important and the sleeping Zenitsu takes over when it matters, that's all I care about, you know, and then I can get the quirky side as a balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
It's good. But Tanjiro, my gosh, Tanjiro, like, went into super mode, apparently because he stopped breathing. He just forgot to breathe and suddenly was way more powerful. Interesting.
And it's also interesting that his brother was spiritually connected to both of them still and communicating to them. I love, there's a lot of like deep lore pocketed in these episodes. The brother and then him singing the lullaby. And then of course, when Tanjiro is fighting, he gives Daki this sort of flashback that's not hers to what I'm assuming is his father fighting at one point. And yeah, it's really cool, like bits of important lore. And it's just wrapped in there. And it really adds to the density of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few moments that they're just so quick and they pass so quickly. But if you're paying attention, you're like, oh, that's interesting. I appreciate that they took a moment to stick that in there amongst everything else.
Yeah.
So we are seeing both instances of this is a good thing to pepper in all this chaos, whereas the thing where he's talking about how he's not special is just like, you didn't really need to do that right now, but it is also for him to, you know, kind of, you know, pep himself up. It's like, hey, I may not be special, but I still have a job to do. I do understand that, but it just felt disjointed in that particular moment. But it's okay. You know, things can't be firing on all cylinders at all times. But man, this is a good batch of episodes with some mighty fine fights and great character moments, and it's been a very enjoyable ride. And now we can see that the fights are only going to get more intense, because the sickles this guy has, his blood sickles, and his ability to use blood as blades, like, yikes. He can make a whole lot of projectiles in an instant, and you can't possibly block them all.
He is something, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's no slouch in the fighting department. He's just a slouch at everything else.
Well, you know.
It reminds me a little bit of Kimimaro from Shippuden. Like, this is way back. But I've been rewatching Shippuden from the beginning because we're getting close to the end. So, you know, why not? And when I saw the sickles, they looked like bones and then the blood. But it reminded me a little bit of that.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I just needed to feel, I needed to plug Shippuden for just because that was.
It was actually the last canon manga episode this past weekend. The rest is apparently adaptations of light novels, which are technically canon, but they're not in the manga.
Paul, did the whole like bad dad having a come to Jesus moment get you all fired up?
No, not really.
No? I felt so unreasonably angry because I didn't like him because he's such a shit dad. And then I was like, oh, I'm glad you're writing now, but it's too little too late, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Well, you know, sometimes it just takes people some time.
Yeah, but again, it's good that they had this moment. I just think the placement is not where it should be. Yeah. Though I honestly don't know exactly where it should have been, but
not there.
Yeah, not when
not
a
there. Not in the middle brother, of a battle.
I think
not when a brother
battle.
Is coming out of his sister, which is again something a little weird, but continue.
Yes. You may be an incel, but I'm pretty sure we don't have to worry about incest.
Thank you.
Though he was technically inside of her.
Oh, just stop.
And now we all get canceled.
Oh, God. We've said worse, so we're not getting canceled.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. It's, this don't worry, you're gonna get the backstory on these two and see, you know, because it's Demon Slayer. You almost always get the backstory on the demons.
Right before the fight gets really gnarly. Mm. We gotta stop to get backstory. Because it wouldn't be anime if we didn't do that.
Nope. It wouldn't be modern shonen if it wasn't doing that.
No. But you know what? You know one of the things that I did like about these action sequences is that you see Tanjiro when he's using his fire art before, and then when he starts using his water art again, he switched to his fire art. And when he's still fighting Daki alone, the scene where he cuts her ribbons, he ties down a ribbon and then moves fast to try and get her right before he gets the reminder to breathe. It's that whole sequence leading up to it is just showing his potential with his fire abilities. But also, I mean, it's clear he has a lot to learn and a lot further to go, but he's got a lot of potential. And in these big fights, like in Shonen, they always push the characters to their limits. And, you know, sometimes they come out with these amazing abilities. But Tanjiro's is definitely grounded in a level of vulnerability. Like, you see, he has not mastered these abilities yet. He is not the best he could be, and he's just struggling through this fight, but he clearly has the potential to be equal to these demons if he had the time and the training, you know, like you see that, and it's super cool because I think about like him having the opportunity, if he stops getting himself into trouble with these upper level demons, having the opportunity to train and learn how to get his water and fire abilities correct and you know, be a true a monster on the battlefield, you know, that and his sister.
Yes,
Tanjiro can't go for a nice walk without running into a high level demon.
No, yeah, I don't think he has the ability. It's just gonna keep happening. He's got that protag magnet power. It pulled him right to him.
I hate that plot. I hate that plot element. But at least they're trying to mitigate it with some realistic character development and ability development. I also really just want to see Nezuko get some kind of hold on her powers. And realistically, there's only one other person in the series so far that could teach her any of that. So it'd be really cool to see that happen at some point. You know, having seen her go a little nuts, and I think she just got extremely lucky. Like, she has potential, but she just got really lucky, just like her brother, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was smart to put her back to sleep. Though I love seeing her fight. I felt like it was too little. I was like, no, I need another episode of her fighting, please. Don't put her to sleep.
Oh, there'll be plenty ahead, don't worry.
Oh yes.
By the way, yes, I am also excited to see how the Avatar progresses. Yes.
Okay.
I swear to God, Tanjiro is like Avatar. I'm just like sitting there going like, all right.
He is learning how to bend all the kinds.
And I'm like, wait.
Earth and his air bending too.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do? Like earth, some kind of earth like technique next. And then we're going to do air. Oh, and by the way, are you going to learn lightning as well while we're at it?
Okay, yeah. That would be badass.
I'm going to laugh in manga reader and just leave it at that.
Stop doing! Don't tell me anything. Don't.
I'm not going to. He shouldn't learn.
He shouldn't learn Lightning Strike, because then Zenitsu has even less of a reason to exist.
Hey, that when that dude like goes to sleep, he's awesome. But when he's awake, he can go away.
You should be asleep all the time.
I would be like, hey, sexual harasser. Come here.
Go back to sleep.
Come here for a second.
Go back to sleep.
Can you turn around for a minute? Frying pan to the head. Now let's go fight.
just keep a comically sized mallet on hand at all times to.
Exactly. Yeah.
He is the reason Baka hammers exist.
Yeah.
Lisa, was that you doing Inosuke?
Yes.
Oh, that was
excellent.
You know, okay. You know who he reminds me of, Sketch? Dragon Ball. What was her name? Every time that like she sneezed, she
launch.
Would switch.
Launch.
Yeah, like, so launch, instead, yes. Instead when he gets to that point, So now,
congratulations, you remembered a character that Toriyama forgot.
Legitimately true. Yeah. Absolutely yep. true.
How could he forget Launch? Launch is great.
Best character. I love her.
Listen, I try to come with the anime references when I can.
I don't even know what you're talking about. That's how bad that is.
Shh, 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 shh. Quiet, quiet. Just let me have this.
Launch is not the character I would have expected you to compare to Zenitsu, but I guess in that one respect.
In that very
but
that, one but that detail, is,
that's
respect,
exactly
yeah.
what it is. That's but exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's not the most uncommon thing for like a sneeze to cause a tremendous change in somebody or falling asleep to cause a tremendous change in somebody.
Obviously he's not sneezing, but in this sense, he gets so scared or so anxious to the point of where he just flips a switch and now he's this completely different person. So yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it works. And that's the only one I could really think of at this point. So let me have it.
Yeah. Well, even Cavendish on One Piece has a similar thing where
that's a lot closer of a comparison.
Yeah, that's a very close comparison. In fact, only Cavendish asleep is a bad thing.
yes and no.
Yeah, yes and no. For the most part, it's a bad thing.
For the most part, it is a bad thing, yes.
Whereas when Zenitsu's asleep, for the most part, it's a good thing.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, things are definitely getting flashy. Tengen was like, how dare she transform in such a flashy manner? You promised the master that this wouldn't happen. Bad Tanjiro.
Yeah, he's responsible.
Yeah, right.
It's his fault.
It's totally his fault.
No, she did okay. She came to defend her brother at the right moment. And that was the most important thing to her. And it managed for a while to even subvert her lack of mouthpiece. She was only thinking about her little brother. And then you get to see little Nezuko, who's just a complete doll. Oh my God. Like I can see why the fandom loves her so much.
Oh yeah,
she's
Nezuko's a great
excellent.
Character.
She's such a great, it sucks because that she can't speak because, you know, it sucks having what is essentially a strong female character who's not a villain. And not hyper-sexualized, but she actually doesn't talk, which is annoying on a different level. But, of course, her character can't talk for reasons. So, you know, I get it. But speaking of hyper-sexualized characters, why is Daki walking around in a fucking bikini? Like, that is not practical, lady.
Demon don't give a shit. She doesn't care about practicality. She just comes. If you hurt her, she just bounces back. She don't care.
Those things are going to fall out. Put a shirt on. You can't fight that way.
But maybe that's the point.
I think she just doesn't care. I legitimately think she just does not care.
I think it's also like a weird thing with female characters. Like they wear these skimpy outfits, but it's like you need to protect your stuff. You want to protect your stuff. Put some yoga pants on.
Oh, anything. Yeah, no. With other characters, absolutely valid concern. Absolutely a trope that is weird. I agree with you. In this case, I think it makes sense just because Doggy doesn't care.
I think she just wants to attract some stuff.
I think you're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Oh, clearly.
I mean.
I'm just concerned about her stuff falling out.
Yeah.
Why are you concerned about stuff falling out when she's a demon?
Don't worry. That's not going to happen. It's a shonen manga.
Well, listen. Listen.
This is a children's show.
This is the children's show with movies that are rated R in America.
Listen, the only thing that's going to be falling off is her head, okay?
Yeah. That's the only thing she's looking to defend. Yeah. Her head. Which she uses her belt to defend.
Speaking of sexy ladies, Hinatsuru making an appearance finally. Mm. I was like, when are we going to see the wives? And she comes out with her, like, massive kunai firing weapon and she's ready to go and I'm like let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Tengen doesn't even dodge them.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Goes right in for the attack.
I guess he's trying to be flashy about it.
As he always does.
His wives were certainly flashy, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Great three episodes, though. What a great... It was good action, good narrative telling, with the exception of the random stop for Deadbeat Dad's letter writing moment. It was... The narrative flowed really nicely, and the fights flowed really nicely. Even the exposition wasn't too much. It didn't take away too much. It felt like it contributed to character. Though, I will say... Well, my only caveat to that was when Tengen is talking to Gyutaro and he's saying, you know, he's like, oh, you have it so easy because you're good looking and women like you and you have great skin. And he's like, no, I haven't had it easy. And I just thought for a moment, like, I actually don't care about what you're going to, why do you care? Why do you care about telling him any of this? He's a demon. Just work on killing him. Like, he stopped to talk to him and I didn't actually think that contributed anything to the conversation. I think you can sense depth from Tengen without him needing to monologue to this demon. Like, who cares? Why do you care what this demon thinks? It's one thing.
Tengen's flashy.
But if he's telling his pupils or his wives, yes, that makes sense. Having that conversation then. But, like, why do you care if Gyutaro knows about your vulnerabilities? Why would you even stop to do that? I thought it was weird. It annoyed me a little bit.
I don't know. There's just maybe not a better opportunity for him to casually admit that, like, part of his shtick is he's had to work hard his entire life.
I think it was actually from Tengen.
Some of the Hashira are, you know, naturally gifted.
Yeah, it also could work as psychological warfare because, like, you're gifted. That's why I'm better than you're better than me. No, I worked hard.
Yeah,
screw you.
Yeah, I think so.
You just suck.
More of his incel personality going against the opposite, really.
Yeah.
Complete opposite of, oh, woe is me. The world has been terrible to me. Everything's awful, and that's why I'm awful to everyone. Whereas Tengen's like, yeah, life is awful. I carved my own life.
Yeah.
I abandoned my lineage and found my own way in life. And I think that's a good message.
Okay, yeah. I see that.
And I also like this aspect of Tengen having this amount of vulnerability to admit that he considers himself lesser than Rengoku.
I mean,
and I also like that conversation that he had in the Omenk with Rengoku's spirit. It's like, I don't know if I can do it. I can't do it like you. It's just, it's okay. You can do it however you do it. But you still have too many wives.
But also, we know that Rengoku didn't have it easy. He had a troubling family situation, and that's a different struggle.
I'm not saying that Rengoku was one of the people that had it easy. It's just that Tengen is admitting that as far as being a Hashira, Rengoku was a better Hashira than he was.
Man, I'm still mad about him being gone.
We all are.
I mean,
it never goes away.
All have a Rengoku shaped hole.
Yeah.
Including Rengoku.
And that's what she said.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, next time we'll talk about the last three episodes of this arc, which are quite exciting.
Oh, yes. You guys are for a treat if you haven't seen them yet.
I just don't really remember, just bits and pieces. I kind of remember how it ends. I don't know. Who cares? I'm going to watch it. It's going to be great. Paul's going to watch it.
You want something I've watched a ton of? It is these last few episodes because holy cow.
Oh, I've already watched it and I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, you did? You finished it?
I did.
Couldn't help yourself. Had to know what happened.
I already finished the next arc too. So
I saw the last two episodes of this arc in the theater.
So am I the only one who hasn't watched the next arc here?
I haven't seen more than the first episode of the next arc.
Oh, good.
I will read the entire manga, so yeah.
I will tell you this. The next arc of Demon Slayer, not the one that hasn't come out yet, but the next one.
The training?
Yes.
The swords something?
Yeah, the
swordsmith.
Yeah, swordsmith. Swordsmith's
my favorite arc, period.
My favorite scene from the whole series is in that arc.
I can see that. It's a really good arc. I really enjoyed it.
One out of the three that were I mean, I'm assuming we're gonna get this next arc on Toonami. It would be stupid.
Here's hoping it's coming soon.
But what I was gonna say is out of the three of those, that was definitely the best arc.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's a high bar.
I'm sure you will agree with me once you see it, because then, and especially Laser, yeah, I think you know where
I'm
going with this.
I know
is
exactly
it,
what you're
is it
thinking.
The second to last or is it the it's, last
episode? Don't say anymore.
Stop
it.
Don't say it.
No. I'm not going to give any hints. I'm just telling you it's either.
But you already told us what episode it happens in.
And? I didn't tell you what it is.
It's already
He's
too
thinking
much.
Of something that's it's pretty big, too but much. Yeah, I don't remember which episode it is, to be honest with you. But I know
I'm petting
exactly
my cat's paws to get the nervousness out because I'm just like anxious and I want to watch right now. Cat's
See,
paws.
I'm gonna be real disappointed if Toonami doesn't roll right into it because
I think they will.
I intentionally did not go see this latest release in the theater because I hadn't seen the arc yet. I would have had to zip through watching the whole arc before I could go see it in the theater and not be like, what the heck's happening?
It does feel like it's going to be easier to get than before.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
They've worked
some things out.
Yeah, I feel like things, it just seems like, because it's already
it's a year
been
old,
airing. Yeah.
So it's already streamed on everything.
Also, Demon Slayer is Aniplex.
Yeah.
Like, actually Aniplex, not Crunchyroll.
They suck a little less.
Yeah. They're willing to come to the table again.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all very grateful that one day Aniplex woke up and said, we don't have to do that. We can put shows on Toonami still.
Yes, you can.
You know, maybe we should. Maybe this is a good time to talk about that. What was it? I think it was somebody from Crunchyroll saying that. Oh yeah, we have enough presence on TV.
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What?
He didn't actually say anything about that. He just said that anime is on broadcast television, which technically
it's not cable.
Is he talking? Is he talk? Was this at the Anime Awards, which I didn't watch and don't care about?
I don't think that interview was during that. Crunchyroll representation have had several interviews recently for a myriad of topics. We talked a lot about some of that last week.
I don't care unless they're going to do a second season of Shenmue. I just don't give a shit about Crunchyroll. You give me more Shenmue, fuck you.
I mean, according to Jason, if Crunchyroll wants to do it, they can.
Yeah, so. Everybody else wants this to happen.
Yeah.
That's been very clear. Everybody's willing to do this except them. And for literally no reasons. This is where Sony needs to, I feel like they step up. Come up with another game so we can all just be like, oh, what a great reason to have a season two. Another video game.
I mean, I would never argue with Shenmue 4. It definitely needs it.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing. Anyway.
I mean, this is a good segue, but I mean, the way that Ninja Kamui is going, I mean, they might be stupid to not have a second season of this.
Without knowing where the story's going, it's hard.
That's true. That is true. I will agree with you. Yeah.
I'm very much enjoying Ninja Kamui, but I've enjoyed other Toonami originals up to this point that have also been, just kidding.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about Ninja Kamui episode 4. As you may recall, in the previous episode, Tigon left the previous battle with both the FBI agents injured and getting carted away, you might think it might be difficult for him to get in contact with them again now that they've been hospitalized. No, actually, it's super easy, barely an inconvenience. He just shows up at the hospital.
I feel like he can find anyone anytime. That I don't, it didn't surprise me at all.
And now, by the way, since he claimed his name is Peking Duck, Morris refers to him as Ducky. In the Japanese, he just calls him Duck, which I kind of like better, but Ducky is fun. That's fine.
It's very American.
It's very, very American. They're like, all right, so what's the next thing we got to do? Well, we're going to go into Alza City, but it's very fortified. And Higan gets a message on his phone and gets in contact with somebody who claims to be an ally of sorts and says that they can get Higan into the city, but he's got to follow his exact directions. He has to trust him. And he gives him a little insurance by telling him one of the ninja poems from his organization or whatever. He's like, yeah, he knew one of those and nobody else should know those. So, and Morris is quite understandably like, that's all it takes to get your trust.
It's the secret code, bro.
Secret code. Secret ninja poem.
Secret ninja poem.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Deeply. Deeply.
They're also looking at the angle of trying to find out more about Alza by contacting somebody that is organizing people on the dark web with, you know, conspiracy theories and stuff like that. So they're coming at this at two different angles. Meanwhile, the Evil Ninja Council holds a meeting.
Evil Ninja Council of Evil.
Where they exchange some not so friendly words at each other.
Is the old guy who's clearly the head of the ninjas, is that Yamaji? Is that who that is? I was trying to figure out what his name was.
I think that might be Yamaji.
I don't know.
It's a little hard to piece it together from the names in the credits.
Here's the thing, and it's so early to say this, but this kind of bothers me. There's clearly a, outside of Higan and I guess Mari's relationship and wanting to leave. I got the impression from episodes 2 and 3 that a reason there's a kind of an exodus of some of this clan had to do with their decision to form some kind of an external alliance, which is really deeply against their code. And then you see a character like Yamaji, who seems very committed to his code, but he obviously had some say in making these connections to this non-Elon Musk character. And you're welcome. And I find that, and I'm making a couple of leaps here, but I find that really baffling that someone so principled would be so quick to give up a core essential principle of your organization for a organization that's clearly not following the same rule book as you. Like, what's your game plan? Why would you compromise enough so that it actually caused a massive exodus of your own ninja? Again, mm-hmm. I'm speculating, it is only episode 4, but I'm just trying to build off of the little scenes we've seen, and that kind of, it's on my mind. I'm sure these questions will be answered, but it's definitely something that's bothering me a lot.
Yeah, we don't really understand what the old master's whole perspective is on all of this.
Mm.
But he certainly has quite the menagerie of upper-level ninja at the table.
And weirdos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's Afro Samurai, so let's just call this guy Fade Ninja.
Oh my gosh.
That is an F90s Fade.
Or maybe Flat Top Ninja. I don't know. he was like bold.
Quintessential 90s, and I love it.
Love yeah. And of course, there's the creepy guy that we introduced to in the previous episode. His name is Lil, by the way.
Okay, if you say okay. So.
And the head of Alza, he seems to have taken a former ninja as his secretary, and she's at the table too.
So what the fuck?
And then there's somebody who's like a cyborg. Who sounded kind of familiar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like Lucy Christian to me. So they could just be reusing the actress, but I don't know. And I suppose there's other actresses that sound vaguely like Lucy Christian, so maybe I'm just mishearing, but might be nothing. Might
closely
be something.
Closely scrutinize the credits.
Mm-hmm. How cool would it have been if, like, Emma was like controlling a cyborg. I don't think that's actually happening. Emma doesn't seem capable of doing that yet.
That would be
cool. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. Yeah. So they're bickering, and we suppose Yamaji is all like, "All right, that's enough idle chit chat. I'm gonna use a force choke on you now."
He Darth Vader'd that bitch. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yep, he sure did.
Time to stop talking now.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of bad, but you need to shut up when grown folks is talking. yep, that was bad.
We all wanted it to happen, though. Nobody was upset.
In our previous conversation, we wondered if... the head of Alza would show some backbone at any point. He's already showing at least a little bit. It's like, hey, you're not my boss, but I agree with you. he's riding that line a little bit. The FBI realizes they can't really stop Mike from doing whatever he will on his off time, but he figures that they'll keep Emma from assisting him at least by forcing her to, you know, do her job. She can be assigned to other cases. They have to part ways officially, unofficially. But before they do, they have a conversation at a cafe. It's like, okay, this is supposed to be set in America. What's got the, like, the green melon Japanese drink? Okay. Also, my friend who was watching the first episode recently was like, why is the store that Joe's family going to named like Yon Yon Mart? Like, got a point there. Maybe should have gone with something that sounded definitely more American, but whatever. But I draw the line at the green beverage, because that don't look like a Mountain Dew, sir. She also got on his case for drinking too much caffeine. He's like, oh, all right, I'll have water.
Yeah, I concur. He needs to be less.
drink less. More. Drink more water, Mike. Drink more water,
please. But, we don't need you to die. Also, we got some interesting insight into his character. With
yes,
his family.
We see a flashback. It's not evident that it's a flashback right away, but you
no at first together, I thought it was like, oh god, he lost it too, huh?
Yeah,
which yes, but just not in the way I initially thought.
Yeah,
talking about Mike.
Yeah
he we in this flashback we see him looking at this picture that his kid drew that says daddy keeps us safe from the bad guys.
God, that was rough.
And he's ignoring phone calls from his wife as he's dealing with another case until he finally picks up and talks to her and finds out that their only child is dead. The driver was asleep at the wheel. Just, you know.
I mean, and the sad part is, this is so typical for anything with a cop show. She blames him, except him being a cop has nothing to do with a bad driver.
Mm-hmm.
Is not related. You know, some people just should not be behind the wheel of a car. It is a horrible tragedy, though, and like it was a little gut-wrenching because you can assume that there's no way this marriage survived that.
No.
No.
Unfortunately, poor Mike.
No, it did not. So he actually asked Joe, like, did your wife know who you were? He said, yeah, Mari was a ninja too. Mm. Oh, is it typical for ninjas to have families? No, nope. We broke the code. So you chose your family.
Yes.
Which I think is a good, like, story beat. But again, as Kuro pointed out, Mike shouldn't beat himself up for what happened to his family. Just because he was focused on his work doesn't mean that he wasn't a good father.
Yeah.
Though we don't have all the information, so.
It's more about how these characters view themselves as their relationship with their job, where Higan sees his former occupation as the cause. Mike probably sees his former occupation as the impediment. And I think it wasn't so much as how it related to the family as much as it how it brought to them to the situation where they are. I think that was meant to be the juxtaposition of their views on this. And maybe I'm reading a little too much into it, but that was just how I saw that moment. Rather than the obvious, I was like, look a little deeper. This is a little bit more than that.
We also get flashbacks to Higan and Mari's time working as ninja alongside Zai. I was going to get there eventually. Zai, which, by the way, Higan, Mari, and Zai are their ninja names. We don't know what their names before were, if they even had names. Just, it's kind of weird.
Her real world name was Mommy.
Yeah. Mari is her ninja name? Not what I would have expected for a ninja name. Like, Zai and Higan, okay. I could see those as being like titles. Mari's just a name. It's a nice name. I like it. But ain't nobody worried about the Dread Pirate Mari. Or the Dread Ninja in this case. They clearly have a very strong bond with Zai, the three of them. And we also see that Higan never was much for liquor.
Yeah.
That's a nice character quirk.
That was really cute. He's like trying to take it, which is essentially a shot, and he's choking on it, and I'm like, I do that too.
Mari found it amusing.
He's cute.
So they have another mission, and it goes badly because Mari has a moment where she sees a woman and her child and has this hesitation to kill both of them, which ends up getting her rather badly injured, and Higan has to grab her and get them out of there, and then they haul up in a cave, and she's just raring to commit seppuku, but he stops her and tells her, I don't care about the code. I broke the code the moment I met you.
Oh my god, I loved that so much. Oh my god, that was just...
And then they kissed and definitely did more than that.
Oh my.
Where they went, it looks like he was just, you know, they may have just made out. We don't know.
Somebody walked in on them towards the end of the episode and had
that
a
wasn't
look.
What was happening. She was suffering because of her injury, and he was wrapped up to keep her warm using his.
Yeah, yeah, that's they could explain that.
Yeah, that wasn't intimacy though. Yeah. Their kiss was so romantic. I love that so much. I needed more between them. Like I was losing my mind a little bit. Wasn't there another woman? There was not just three of them. I thought there were four ninjas.
During the training, we saw more, yes.
But I could have sworn, maybe I'm mistaken. I thought there was another female aside from Mari.
I saw that too. But then when they didn't completed get their trials, they weren't there, so I think they failed. That's my read on it anyway.
Good detail. Maybe that matters. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh my gosh, what a sigh moment.
Nice romantic moment.
It was. He stops her from killing herself, and then he goes in, and it's just a really intimate moment where he's patient, and he waits to see if she's receptive before he leans in to kiss her. And I was just like, I loved it. I loved it so much. I needed more. It was great.
I appreciate that we even get something like this, because after the first episode, I was like, are we ever going to see Mari again in a flashback or something?
Yeah.
Good. Glad that we saw this. And it also, clearly, Zai is feeling very betrayed by Higan at this point.
Jealous much?
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely some jolly going on here.
So much so that, okay, I can't be the only one thinking that the person who contacted him might have been Zai.
I was wondering that.
But on the other hand, in the episode preview, he's getting contacted by that person again, and they're talking about how they're letting him into the city. So maybe it's not him, but I could see, like, it just seems so convenient that the laser would turn off right then, and he would be confronted by Zai, and then it would turn back on. And like, okay.
Yeah.
He knew exactly where he was going to be.
We won't know till the next episode, but yes, both ideas occurred to me as well.
So that was a pretty cool infiltration sequence where he's getting into Alza City through an underground passage.
Really good action. They definitely done a damn good job with the budget on this.
And I appreciate that the focus was on stealth as opposed to just slaughtering people, because we've had plenty of instances of just mowing down people, and that's cool, but he's a ninja. Part of being a ninja is, you know, skulking around in the shadows and not getting detected. So I like to see that part of all of that.
We sacrificed a fight scene in lieu of a romantic one, and I'm totally okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that. That's
am I. I'm gonna say right now, this is my favorite episode so far, to be honest with you.
We also got a wicked cameo.
Yes. So we're gonna talk about that now. It has happened, ladies and gentlemen. Jason is now anime.
Yes.
At some point in the production, Jason got a message and they were saying, hey, we're going to use you as like a background character at some point. It's like, oh, I don't know, guys. Oh, come on. It'll be fun for the staff. Come on. All right. Here's some pictures. He soon finds out that this is a character of significance that'll be around for several episodes. Jason Cardenas.
Yes.
Yeah, so which is amusing to me as a Power Rangers fan because of Jason and Cardenas. But
I don't know how he couldn't love this. Like, come on. I think secretly he must like this.
I'm sure he likes it, but he didn't necessarily want it to happen.
He didn't want an ego trip, basically.
So what do you think, Paul? What do you think of Jason finally being in anime?
I mean, he was a hot dog vendor in IGPX.
So. Oh, that's true. This isn't the first anime technically that he was in.
I'm just interested to see next episode, because I was like, I watched this episode and I was like, well, now that I know Jason's in it, now I kind of want to know what the hell he's going to say. Here's my other question. Is it going to actually be Jason's voice?
That would be amazing.
So that's gonna be the next part. That's gonna be really funny to see if Jason actually voices the character.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, that is kind of funny that they put him in there as like a character that might actually mean something in the series. So it's like, oh dear.
It's fun. It's definitely fun.
It is. I love that he changed his
profile image.
Rip
Uzumaki.
Yeah, you know what? I think he basically was like, you know what? Uzumaki's not happening anytime soon, so I'm just going to change it to this.
And he picked, like, the image. It's, like, the funniest picture. His mouth is just open, and it's like, intentionally embracing the bit. I liked it. And he changed his name, too.
Yeah.
Nunikin Kamui.
It relates to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Nunikin Kamui DeMarco.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nunikin was that the term for somebody who defected?
It means
I'm wondering if
missing
that
missing or escaped shinobi.
There you go.
Oh, there so, you go.
That then that is so if that's not just having some fun and he's actually one of the escaped shinobi, then maybe he's the guy who called Higan.
Could be.
I can't even begin to speculate.
In which case, it's definitely not DeMarco's voice.
But I definitely love that he's embracing this. And he's like, he's kind of poking fun. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen. And then it happened. And so, okay, I'm going to new profile picture. Which is what you should do. I love that how it came up. It was kind of like, was it Swimpedia? They were like, is this Jason? And then Jason's like, yeah, that's me. It was funny.
It's like, well, now I have a story to tell. That you do. So this Jason guy is, as we know it, is the like the head of the dark web organization with the conspiracy theories, is wanting to take down Alza. So,
which feels really appropriate.
Right. Oh. No social commentary at all.
Why do I feel like this is turning into Taken as well? I have a certain set of skills.
Sheesh. Well, Higan certainly has a certain set of skills.
I mean, this is really John Wick, except for it's not a dog. It's his wife and his kid. And then kind of a little Taken thrown in there, too, a little bit.
Jason loves John Wick.
Yeah.
Oh.
He loves definitely. John Wick.
And who wouldn't?
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Well, I mean
course,
he has a specific...
Of course he loves John Wick. He's
he has a specific set of skills.
He's working with the John Wick choreography director for Lazarus. So, duh, he loves John Wick. He wants to make John Wick anime.
You know, and the only thing that's missing from this, the only thing that's missing from this is that scene where obviously there's not a dad and a son in this as of yet, but just a scene where the one guy's like, oh God, you pissed off this ninja. Now look at what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. So, I don't think we're ever going to get that.
No, by the way, I will say like so far, this is my least favorite episode just because really nothing happened of substance.
Hmm.
I disagree. We got a lot of good information. For me, it was
No. We got a lot of good information, but it wasn't like anything of like, I don't know. It wasn't eventful, I guess. You know what I mean?
I mean, they got attacked in the car and have that escape. They have the infiltration of the base. That's a lot of action-y stuff.
Well, the car thing happened in the previous.
Yeah, the car thing happened in episode 3. Right, that's why I was right. Like, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
No, my brain mixed two episodes together because I watched them back to back. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. There was, in the flashback, there's plenty of ninja action.
Well, and again, the infiltration of the base.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say,
this is a pretty dense episode as far as moving the story.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, out of the 4 episodes, this would probably be my least favorite just because... I don't know. It didn't. I mean, it gave me a lot of information but that was about it. I do love the fact that like he goes through all of this, gets to this energy net. It's lifted for the 5 seconds and then that dude stops him and now the energy shield's back up. So it's like, oh, well, this was pointless.
So if I had to guess based on the preview, that might open back up and they have a little scuffle, or he's just going to stand there and say, we're going to let you in. Or something. They may not actually fight then, because the Master doesn't want Zai to fight, even though he clearly wants to fight Egon. He's champing at the bit to do so. And the reason why the Master doesn't want that is apparently because Zai is much more important to the organization than all those others.
Well,
I mean,
Zai clearly wants the confrontation.
Yeah,
he's embedded.
By the way, speaking of that, sorry to cut you off, but speaking of that,
okay. We
kind of know what both of their special skills are. We don't know what her special skill was.
No, we do not.
Well, whatever it was, she apparently didn't pull it out when the home was invaded.
But that makes me wonder.
I wonder if she did. I wonder if that's how Egon's alive.
Yeah, I wonder. Okay,
you might be onto something there.
But I also wonder, like, we're not going to be pulling this whole thing of, oh, she faked her death, and really her and her son are still alive somewhere.
I heard that theory, and I don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true either, but I was like sitting there thinking to myself, like, so you talk about a special skill, but she's dead.
It really wouldn't be. I feel like Jason wouldn't. Obviously, I think the rest of the crew has would feel the same, but I just don't see him heavily endorsing something that would give us that big of a deus ex machina. Like, it doesn't strike me as something that he would be on board with.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that he wouldn't be on board with it. What I'm saying is it would make for a good plot point, because obviously he's killing all these guys because she's dead and their child is dead, right? So all of a sudden she just shows back up and you're like, well, wait a minute. What? I thought you were dead. What is going on here?
No.
You know, that doesn't, I mean, that's always a good plot point. Like, what is going on here?
It wouldn't work for this at all. It would really diminish the pain. Like, even they built the OP and the ending song around the pain and angst of loss and revenge. Like, that's how deeply embedded it is to this mission. I think it would cheapen the entire experience in a really gross way.
I would agree, but I mean, it's.
I agree with that too.
I just really want to see what this special skill is, because, like.
Oh, you may never know.
It'd be cooler if it was related to his survival. That actually, Laser, is a really great theory. I'd be more inclined to subscribe to that.
For all we know, she didn't learn her skill before they defected.
True.
Yeah.
Also, the Master keeps on going on about how they need to find out how Egon is doing his technique. You don't know?
He's got more than one.
Well, no, yeah, he does. It's more than that. They make a huge point. You don't tell anyone how your technique works. No one. So they don't know how it works because that's how it's set up.
But here's the thing. Nobody
knows anyone else's technique.
Here's the thing. You're trying to stop him, right? So how do you find out his skill without stopping him, which would ultimately mean you're going to kill him? How would you find out his skill if you kill him? So now you have to think, okay, so are you going to try to take him alive?
I think that's the intention.
Yeah, because maybe that's what's going on here, is we're going to start to see that here in this next episode, where they're like, okay, we're going to let you in. By the way, we're going to let you do pretty much whatever you want to a point, and then we're going to, I mean, obviously they're not going to tell him this, but they're going to capture him somehow and try to figure out how he does what he does.
Yeah, they're just going to keep sending mooks at him.
You know what?
Yeah.
That actually made me think. I'd be willing to bet that if he had died quickly, it would not have mattered what his special skill was. But because he survived, it upped his value. And now they have a reason to want his special skill, because he has better value as a ninja. And I think that before, whereas they just wanted to kill him, now by this point, episode 4,
Well,
Yamaji wants him alive, at least I think so, because he doesn't know a special skill, and it's clearly enabled him to get this far.
Right. Well, so let's go on the theory that maybe his wife's technique did save him. I feel like it was a combination of whatever she did, if we're going on this theory, and his technique. Because if you remember in episode 2, when he's with the doctor,
yeah,
the doctor turned him over on his back and he's like,
"You should be
dead. This should have killed you."
Yeah.
So
he either used some kind of forbidden technique.
Either like whatever she did at first helped him, and then his technique saved him somehow. Or it was vice versa. Somehow, like, some way they were mixed in into two to where he basically is now, he basically lived. Because, yeah, he should be dead. So, and it'll be interesting to see if this is something that might come back to where maybe this is just something temporary. Because maybe he will die no matter what at the end. Even if it's, whether it's by the, you know, in a fight where they both lose, like he kills the guy, wins, but then dies later.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe he wins, everything's great and fine and dandy, but then he dies because of this injury that was quote unquote, you know, okay. But now, you know, all of a sudden it breaks down because, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it would make sense that maybe he's just on borrowed time at this point.
It's really funny you say that, Paul, because one of the things about revenge stories, there is kind of a trope that there is a price to pay for your revenge.
Yeah.
Right.
And not all of them, but a lot of the really good revenge stories involve it meaning a consequence, either you lose your freedom or you lose your life or you lose something like something. And Mike has made it clear from the get-go that his end game is going to be to arrest him no matter what. But right. I think for Joe, for Higan, this is his end game is death. And whether or not it's succumbing to injuries or succumbing to his initial wound, I cannot see him surviving the end of this series. I don't even think he would have the will to survive. I think everything he has, and it's so early, but I feel like the end game is ultimately going to end up with him in his end game, which makes sense for that's the price you pay for your revenge, but he doesn't have anything else to live for. That's all he has. And once his revenge is complete, what else is he going to have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've seen in countless movies, and I'm not talking about just anime. I'm talking about live action movies.
Yeah.
You know, you see, like you're saying, but let's take an example. Guy gets poisoned. So he has 72 hours to, you know, do something within that time frame in order for him to get his revenge or whatever. You know, we see these stories like come up countless times in movies and all this. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, especially if. And I personally don't think that their intention with this series was to go beyond one season, but it's going to be interesting to see how this ends up because, I mean, right now on HBO Max, it's trending at number 4. So
that's awesome.
You're looking at an anime series that's doing extremely well on Max, and you're going, "Oh, I hope I didn't kill the character in the end," because you know it's like you might be able to get another season out of this because you know like,
I would rather they do the natural story progression, and if it works to continue it, by all means, but I actually don't feel like this is something you'd want to continue. It feels like something you'd want to let have a
problem. Oh, no. There's going to be a conclusion. That's clear from where this is going. What that conclusion is, we don't know yet. But
we're always talking about shows needing additional seasons, but if you tell a good enough story in one season, then it resonates with the audience well enough that you can replay it and you don't need more.
That's true.
Well,
the problem is they haven't quite nailed the whole tell a good enough story in one season.
It's only episode 4. B, yes. If I'm honest, and they're going to put energy and money into a project, I'd rather see a continuation of a series that was left unfinished than one that appears to have a complete storyline.
Exactly. I'm going to be, so let me tell you from the social media side what I see. So I'm going to give you an example of how much I think that this series is doing so well. And this is the reason, if Adult Swim actually listens to our podcast, then maybe they should listen in right now. I put one, and this is the only reason I've been putting the promos up on our TikTok, right? Put one of them up on a Wednesday.
We have a TikTok?
We do. Just because it does so well and some things. So I want to pull it up while I'm talking about this. Turn off the volume so it doesn't come on the podcast. So I'm looking at it right now. So it went from, I posted it on a Wednesday. It was only maybe 100 views. So I was like, all right, well, this isn't going to do anything. Thursday went by. We get into Friday. All of a sudden, it starts to tick up a little bit. And I'm like, okay, all right, where is this going? It ends up at 20,500 views for a promo. And which episode is that for? I think it's for episode 2. And then I start seeing, because the algorithm on TikTok, I start to see people reviewing the series, like these episodes, you know, where they're watching along, like half is them watching and the other half is the actual episode. And I'm sitting here and I'm seeing thousands of views on all of these videos. And I'm like, okay, I think we might be onto something here. We might be onto something here because a lot of people are watching this series. I mean, like I said, number 4 on Max. So if this ends up being a very good payoff, I think that Adult Swim might have finally struck gold with something anime-wise. Because obviously they've struck gold with Rick and Morty, but, you know...
And how amusing is it that it's in this series that's doing so well that DeMarco's in it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to, I know it's episode 4. I don't want to throw, you know, praise on it just yet, because obviously it could go downhill, because we've seen these series have a very good high and then they come down from the climax. And then all of a sudden it's just trash.
I don't want to talk about Fena. God.
Well, I wasn't saying Fena, but I guess you can use that as an example. But yeah, I mean, this might be their first hit anime series. And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Although
it's a very good thing.
This story is short form. I don't think it's going to need another season. And if it's doing as well as you're saying, it really won't need one.
But here's the thing. I'm not talking necessarily about continuing the story that's going on in this season of it. You could do more in a season 2 with a different thing going on.
You want to do a spinoff with different characters.
Right, spinoff.
A spinoff, if they were going to do something, could be like the video game adaptation, which is called Shinobi Origins. Like. Yes. Like, I could totally, I mean,
yeah, spin-off,
it's really hard. There is so little for us to go off of this, because I don't know what they're going to show in the other series, the rest of the episode.
But, oh my God,
like, this whole Ninja Clan thing is just really rich, and provided that they don't fill all that in for the video game, which I really need to see a preview of. Hello.
Yes, please. I really hope this game is actually good.
Yes, and the part of me that can't touch grass yet needs to spend my time on my computer or my video game systems.
Hey, I just got myself an NVMe for my game, so heck yeah.
And, you know, I and that's what I was shooting for, Laser. I was shooting for a spinoff. I didn't want to use I didn't want to use the word spinoff, but yes, it's a spinoff, basically.
Yeah, no, spinoff, I could totally, like, expanding the world, I could totally see.
Here's where I caution. because I don't want them to do FLCL again. If you do a spinoff, great. Let it sit and let it be good. And then just leave it at that. Don't go crazy. Because the minute that you start going crazy and you start pumping out too much, people are going to start sitting here and going, what was the point of that? You know what I mean? So I understand what they wanted to do with FLCL, and I get that, but I didn't really think they needed to go beyond alternative and progressive. I think they did what they needed to do, and they should have just stopped there. But I could be wrong. I don't know. But I think
Shoegaze had some interesting things to say, but
yeah,
we could have been fine without it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this, now that we're, what, it's supposed to be 12 episodes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what the next four do, and then the final four after that, because, you know.
Yeah, he's already infiltrating Alza City. How many episodes are they going to spend on him just tearing through various ninja?
I don't mind that.
Not to jump ahead, but, you know, if this does well, people are going to be excited for Lazarus coming up. Mm-hmm. So, and from what Jason has hinted, this is going to be something big. So, I mean, it's all going to be good. And if they can hit these things out of the park, they're going to become a contender in this anime industry. And it's going to be very, Crunchyroll's going to have to sit there and go, oh, okay, maybe we should partner with Adult Swim. Because, you know, I mean, they just need to be, a little bit more loose about this anime, because what they're doing right now is just ridiculous. By the way, side note, what, am I wrong, or was Dragon Ball Super, was never on Crunchyroll?
Previously, only the Japanese version was.
Yeah, the really? Dub just recently hit, but it was Japanese only on Crunchyroll until very
So where was the English dub before that?
Funimation and Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was on Funimation. Okay.
Yeah,
that's weird to me.
Funimation first, then it was on Hulu fairly recently.
That's really weird that it just wasn't on Crunchyroll yet, because I'm like, why wouldn't the English dub be on
it? It is weird, but, you know, contracts.
Things, and we also are missing a lot of shows.
And again, I'm sorry to sidetrack from that, but I saw it a couple times on my social media today, and I was like,
yeah, I did notice
that's weird.
The dub for Dragon Ball Super dropped on Crunchyroll today.
If you have a Funimation account, watch The Slayers, watch Serial Experiments Lane, watch The Vision of Escaflowne.
Also watch Outlaw Star.
Yes, also Outlaw Star.
So, but yeah, I mean,
because we have no guarantee that they're actually going to come to Crunchyroll, because contracts.
I'm glad I own most of those on home video. Physical forever, yeah. Y'all. Physical forever.
By the way, speaking of contracts, please don't write this off, Adult Swim, Warner Brothers Discovery. Please don't be like, oh, look, it did so well on Max. Oh, that's rated off. Oh my God, I would be so pissed.
I think so far we're not going to have to worry about
no,
that.
No, so far. Wait. I'm going to do this on the podcast. So far.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're perfectly happy burying and destroying a very good Looney Tunes movie.
Let's
which
not
tested
get into that.
Well. And is beloved by everybody who worked on it.
And there's a large amount of demand from the fans for it.
What in the super drama is that about? Like, how gross is that? I don't understand on what planet writing it off for tax reasons somehow saves them money. Like, I get that they don't want to promote it, but holy crap, sell it to fucking Netflix or Prime if you don't want to promote it, and then let them do it.
This needs to be made illegal. You can't just, I'm going to make this thing and then not, I'm going to delete it for a tax write-off. That should not be tax write-offable.
Well, technically, it is illegal. The problem is, you know, to put the effort into pursuing that. So there was an investigation. The federal government did look into it and say that they suspected shenanigans, but God forbid they, you know, follow through with the important things like, yeah, you know, this or Scientology and call bullshit on it. They're too busy fucking around with other garbage. So,
dear God, I started a tangent here.
You're not wrong.
Started a tangent. Oh God.
No, actually, I've been wondering why we haven't talked about the Acme movie to begin with, because it is really weird. And the fact is, now I've seen all over my social media people posting about just leak the movie. And quite frankly, I think at this stage, yeah, someone should leak the movie if they're really clever enough to do it. Obviously, that would have to be very skilled operation. But at this stage, it's not going to be released. That's the only way. And it's going to have to be so skilled and like shadowy that the person who does it doesn't get in trouble. Because I don't want anyone losing their job or their livelihood or getting sued over that. But I'm so angry at Warner Brothers for this. It's so vindictive. It's so vindictive that it's kind of like, yeah, just.
Warner Brothers sure likes to not make money.
They also like to screw over DVD customers with really poor DVD printings 20 years ago, not ever tell anyone, and now we've got a disc brawn epidemic.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Let me.
Oh yes, it's a major problem.
I think I've spoken to this before, but I think that the thing that gets lost, especially in the social media world, we focus in on they wrote off this movie, but the wider, the bigger thing that we should be talking about is AT&T hiding all the shit that they did wrong and Warner Brothers Discovery having to come in here and clean up the fucking mess. So,
I mean, that's part of it, but
it's a big part of it though, Sketch. That's the problem. Like, I mean, we were talking, what was it, a year or two ago about how, what was that thing that happened in Ohio? They were suing about something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something that Warner Brothers Discovery didn't even know about that AT&T caused. I'd have to look back and see what the article was about.
Yes, AT&T left Discovery with a bad deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally for
However, the management of Discovery, they do not understand how to run a company like Warner Brothers.
Well, they try to keep trying to spin it off to somewhere else. So, yeah, I get that. I mean, but
Not like they're the only company that is deeply in debt, and yet they're still doing bonehead things like burying a perfectly viable Looney Tunes movie because, heaven forbid, they take 40 million or 50 million instead of 70 million for this thing, which they are going to write off for 30 million.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
They could sell it to Prime or Netflix or one of the streaming services and then.
And they won't because they're not willing to pay $70 million, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Well,
I am firmly in under the category of no, you don't deserve a fucking tax write off. Pay your fucking taxes.
No, they don't.
We need that money. People need that fucking money. You pay your fucking taxes, and you can break even at least by selling the property. Just forget all the other feelings. That plot alone, like, bothers me.
I'm right there with you. Most of us are here,
and they're gonna keep doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I'm not. So, how do I put this? I'm a little. So, in this one case, I'm kind of confused because if I remember correctly, they were going to write this off. Then it came back and then now they're writing it off again. So that whole thing with this movie in particular is really weird, and I don't understand it.
It is really weird. It is a stupid dance that they have been doing for months now, kind of dangling this carrot in front of everybody. I guess just hoping that somebody would be stupid enough to say, yeah, we'll pay $70 million for this movie.
But see, the thing that kills me is they do this, but then they're finally treating Adult Swim the way it should have been treated years ago. And I sit here and I go, so are they doing things wrong or are they actually doing things right?
Because Adult Swim
they can treat Adult Swim nicely while doing many, 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 many other things wrong.
Right. So it's I'm a little conflicted in that, but I mean, they haven't touched Toonami. They've allowed Jason to, because I'll be honest with you, when Discovery took over, I was kind of like, is Jason even going to be able to still do what he was doing? Because I thought they would just, you know, just lift that up and be like, screw this. We're not doing this anymore. We're not going to, you know, do anything with anime or animated movies like with Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean? So I really thought that they were going to do that, but they didn't. So, you know, it's like, are they doing some of these things because of the damage that AT&T did while making stupid mistakes, but also finding things that are working and doing that correctly finally? Because honestly, like, Adult Swim, great. I honestly thought that Adult Swim was going to be, because we heard articles and people talking about, oh, they're going to kill Adult Swim, and then all of a sudden the main focus is Adult Swim. You know, it's like, where did this come from? I get that you got Rick and Morty there because obviously Rick and Morty is your big ticket. It's, I mean, I think it's still trending. I'd have to turn it on, but I think it's still in the top 10 being watched the most on Max. So, you know, obviously that's going to be one of your bigger things on Max. So it's like, are you're getting it, but are you completely getting it? I don't know. I don't understand, because like, you still could have gotten $40 million for this movie if that was your intention. You know, I get that you wanted 70, but isn't some money better than nothing? I don't know.
You would think.
I don't know. So, I mean, I
especially now that they poured all this money into this fucking lawsuit.
True. And I'll be honest, look. There's mistakes, and there's the fuck ups that AT&T had that they have to clean up. And I mean, let's give Warner Brothers Discovery credit. Their streaming is profitable. Their what's the term? By putting it on streaming TV channels. Oh God, I can't think of the term. What is it? Yes, fast. They're
free,
fast.
Ad-supported television.
Right. So their fast channels have been profitable for them. So they're turning profit. Plus, I mean, obviously we could probably bring in Adult Swim is doing well for them. Now the question is what are you going to do with what are you going to do with Cartoon Network proper?
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
That's what's next. What are you going to do with Cartoon Network proper? Are you going to finally figure that out? Or are you just going to turn Adult Swim into a 24/7 channel? Like, I don't know.
You'd have to separate them into two different channels, because Cartoon Network has its own thing going.
Yeah, but
Adult Swim.
But Curl, how long have we been seeing the same show play 50 times on Cartoon Network?
Well, that means
Network
Cartoon Network's being misused. That doesn't mean you can
exactly.
That means
I agree. And I mean, it's not like the fact that they have the checkered past shows that they still have past and potentially future. There's so much garbage animated shows out there, and honestly, Cartoon Network has a great archive of excellent shows to work with. You know, like Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, which is kind of splitting the line between Adult Swim and otherwise. I don't know, and I've heard this before about Adult Swim being a full channel. I don't know if they have enough content to have their own 24/7 channel.
Well, so
they
don't without acquisitions.
Yes, well, and remember that they have had to compete in a little way, in a couple ways, with Comedy Central, because Comedy Central wants to have, they wanted to have their own animation, and then I think Fox, FX got a couple of the animated comedy series, and you'll see there's a couple, there's two other channels where I see animated comedy on now, because they're jumping on the bandwagon, and they're definitely watched, because I see them on in the middle of the afternoon, like late day. So I don't know if they could A, pay the money to get, acquire all these rights back exclusively, and B, even with or without those, still have enough content to have their own channel. I still think the model as it exists is the only thing viable. Not to say that they couldn't have their own streaming service where it's like you pay a little extra, you paid, you know, a couple dollars more from whatever you're subscribing to online. But I don't pretend to be a marketing ninja to understand how that works. Right. I do love it being on television, though, because that's what I want. I want to turn on my TV and watch this shit. I want to turn on my TV and maybe I want to watch Powerpuff Girls. Maybe I want to watch Adult Swim. Maybe I want to see Bob's Burgers. I want that choice, and I like that I can do that. And I'm at the point in my life where I'm not ashamed to watch anything animated anymore. I don't give a shit what people think anymore. So I like the option, and I like that it's there.
I mean, so number one, what I would love for them to do, and I think Max should definitely do this, is have it, if you're going to have, because this looks like where it's going finally, having your networks on Max. Okay. And right now it's just sports, but let's say that's where they're going, is they're going to put all their networks on there. You could do your own fast channels, and you're already doing it on Adult Swim's app. You have a Samurai Jack channel. You have a Metalocalypse channel. You have a Rick and Morty channel. You know what I mean? So those are some of the things that they could be doing that would make them money, because obviously they're going to throw ads on there like they do have it on the Adult Swim app. So, I mean, they're already doing that stuff, and they should expand on it. But the reason I'm saying like a 24/7 channel, and I've always joked about this in the past, how like they should do a 24/7 Adult Swim channel. I wouldn't say that was serious until they did Checker Pass, because I'm sitting here going, okay, so you're making these shows Adult Swim shows now. What other shows can you bring back from the past that you're going to put on Adult Swim, quote unquote, that you could put down during the day? You see what I'm saying? Like, so it's more of a possibility now than it ever has been.
You know, but what though? If I were Crunchymation in this situation, what I would do is call up Sci-Fi and make an exclusive agreement with Sci-Fi and bring back a rendition of Annie Mondays, but they would stream exclusively Crunchymation stuff once a week and have their own block on a different night of the week. And do, like, if I were them and they really wanted to tap into that cable TV, they could. Sci-Fi would be the next audience. Sci-Fi Channel would be the next natural audience to do it with. Not Comedy Central, Sci-Fi Channel, since obviously they don't give a shit about Adult Swim.
Well, I mean, I think they would probably try to. Well, let me back myself up.
They, because then they could control. They could control the content. They get to have all of the. They could. They don't have to worry about original. They could bring up old stuff, or they could do original. Like, they could do it all the way they wanted to do, without having Adult Swim exert any of their own creativity in there. Like, if I were Crunchymation, that's how I would play it.
Well, right, but they've. They've actually kind of already done that with Adult Swim, more to the point, Toonami, because they did it in Latin America. So, I mean, I would think they would try to do it with Warner Brothers Discovery again, just because it makes sense that there has been a relationship, if it hasn't been in the United States, but there should be a relationship because they were trying to do shows together anyways. But I mean, they have a channel on, I want to say Pluto. They have a Crunchyroll Pluto channel, I think.
Yeah, it's on Pluto now.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're starting to try to get into this free channel marketplace. And by the way, that's probably where everything is going, because yes, streaming is great, but people don't care about that shit anymore. If they can,
it's not marathon, making money.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about money, it's all about the fast channels. Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is I think that, number one, so I can wrap this up in a bow so that way we don't keep going on this tangent. I want them to revamp Cartoon Network like they're doing with Adult. Not, and they didn't revamp Adult Swim. They expanded Adult Swim and are allowing them to do more, which is what I really want them to do with Cartoon Network as well. I want them to bring it back to the Cartoon Network that me and Sketch enjoyed, because me and Sketch are the same age. Well, I would say Laser too, because Laser's in that age range as well.
I miss classic Cartoon Network.
I want that Cartoon Network.
You miss classic Cartoon Network? Tune into Boomerang now, because it's the best it's been in a long time.
Ooh. So, you know, I want that back. I want that back. I'm not saying bring all those shows back and put it on Cartoon Network. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want that feel back. And I want kids to feel that on Cartoon Network.
And you want Thundercats.
Me and Paul always want Thundercats.
Listen, Carol, I was really trying not to bring Thundercats in this conversation. Well,
we've all accepted it's going to happen every episode. We're just preempting.
Listen, I was legitimately not going to bring Thundercats in. I wasn't even thinking about it until you said something.
I did it for you. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. I've been watching way too much Moana, so yes, thank you. You're welcome. Anyways, oh my God, real quick, my kid loves Moana, and he keeps making me watch it, and I want to shoot myself. Anyways.
Yeah, that's really how it works.
It is good, so I won't. So as long as it's that and not some, I don't remember what the other kid series he wants to, that he plays, that he had his mother watching the night, and I'm like, no, I'll watch Moana, thank you very much.
Is he old enough for Avatar yet? Because that would be my banging ass.
I don't think my two-year-old is going to want that.
Oh, he's two. I thought he was like four.
Don't worry.
I have a suggestion
about Spidey and his amazing friends.
Paul? Laser, I know what your suggestion is. What Thundercats. Is yes.
That's exactly what it was.
Paul, when I was that age, because this is something every child goes
through. Two-year-olds are the correct audience for Thundercats.
Yeah. Yes,
I got into Thundercats when I was two, straight up.
I got into it when I was like four or five. So,
my 2-year-old through 4-year-old phase, the repeated movie watching was The Little Mermaid, and then my sister's was Mary Poppins. So every kid has it, and your kid's is Moana. And that's not a bad one, though I can understand getting tired of it. My mother went through a phase where she's like, if I watch The Little Mermaid or Mary Poppins again, I'm going to shoot my brains out. Bless
actually,
her heart.
My life isn't better down where it's wetter.
By the way, I would have loved if they had done Cartoon Neetu like earlier than what they did when they did do it, because I think that would have been great for kids, but they were way too late with it.
Your kids need to be watching Sesame Street though.
Again, oh, he does. No. That they had the Tickle You block on Cartoon Network decades ago.
Did they? Yes. Why do I not remember that?
I love watching it.
Because it wasn't very successful, because Nick Jr. and Disney Jr. were absolutely dominating.
Oh, you mean Eureka's Castle?
That was a bit after Eureka's Castle time. It was in the 2000s.
What was I going to say?
I hear you, girl.
Can you tell me how?
But yeah, so I want them to do what they did. Yes, my kid watches Sesame Street too. But anyways, so
as they should.
God, we went into a bad tangent here.
Yes.
I want to go to bed.
Poor Sketch. Sketch is like, I need sleep. Me and Carl are like singing Sesame Street.
No, Sketch is looking at the time going, Oh God, this is getting longer for me to edit. Oh God, how am I going to get this out on Thursday?
You did that to you.
Bullshit. Bull fucking shit.
You picked up the tangent. We just contributed to it.
No. I said one thing and then you guys blew into a tangent. So it's not my fault.
Yes. This is why we need to make Paul edit our podcast.
Shut up, Sketch.
He can hear himself and realize that it is his fault. It's always Paul's fault.
Hashtag always Paul's fault.
Is this because of the One Piece mug? Is that what this is?
You know, I don't want to talk about the One Piece mug, because as the head of this, you at least you could do is give me my fucking One Piece mug. Damn it, Paul. I was so little of you.
I think that was the first F-bomb of the
podcast. I was this close to having somebody draw a One Piece mug and then giving it all to you guys.
You know what, though? Like, maybe if there should ever be any moment where you get access to anything, like, free, make sure that you try to make it a One Piece mug, because now that it's, like, become such a dialogue amongst us, like, that's the only way it's going to shut us up.
I mean, I bought my own, so I'm happy, but...
No, it's a point of pride now for me. I refuse to buy it. Now it's, like... I expect it to be given to me.
We want to be mugged.
Ah!
Keep using that joke. Anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast before it turned into an absolute shit show. You can email us at podcast@ToonamiFaithful.com. You can follow us on Facebook.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast and on Twitter @ToonamiPodcast. You can listen to the podcast on just about everything, including Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Deezer, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Overcast, Podbay, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Radio.com, Spotify, and the TuneIn app. And you can find every episode of the podcast to stream online at SoundCloud.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast and get the latest news by following @ToonamiNews on Twitter and read the news, views, and reviews on ToonamiFaithful.com. Laser, tell the folks where they can find you.
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter @LaserKidPrime, and you can find me on the Blue Sky over @LaserKid. Hopefully that place starts picking up so I post on there more often, but I am there. And you can find my editorials right here @ToonamiFaithful.
And Kuro, where can they find you?
I have an Instagram. Hold on. It's @HappyKuroKitty. I haven't been posting much, but I will if I have followers. They will be cat-related things and then probably other Toonami or anime cat-related things. But I promise it will light up your feed with joy. Also, you can find me on Twitter @HappyKuroKitty.
I was going to say, I bet it has cats and One Piece mugs on it.
It has cats. Oh, no, but now that you mention it, I'm going to fucking add them One Piece mug. I'm going to post it on both of my social media.
You're going to post it as, hey, this is what he took from you.
we're just going to make him buy those, and then we're just going to start singing Binx's Brew together.
Everybody's getting tagged.
Remember what he took from you. Or remember what he never gave you.
I need something to drink my non-alcoholic drinks in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Paul, where can they find you?
Well, when I'm not at the bar.
Who do you think you are, Darrell?
No, Darrell just drinks anywhere he wants. at this point.
Not untrue.
Not untrue.
So you can find me on Twitter @PaulBiscrillo. You can follow me on Twitter because I don't call it X.
Nobody does.
So that's @PaulBiscrillo. You can email me, PaulBiscrillo@ToonamiFaithful.com. And yeah, I got another podcast out there called Thoughts on Wrestling, so you can hear me there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find you, Sketch?
You can find me on Twitter @Sketch1984, and I'm also on Blue Sky Sketch1984.
Hopefully sleeping soon is what Sketch should have said.
Sketch is sleepy.
This is one of two remaining days when I have to get up at 3:45 in the freaking morning.
Oh, I was going to say you're 3 hours behind us, but I didn't realize that.
Yeah, definitely makes a difference.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping to be heading to bed by now, to be honest, but Here we are. Here we are. Oof. Boy. Yeah.
That's
so, I am. I totally forgot to say this during the Demon Slayer segment, but we did get one talk back regarding Demon Slayer, and I think it's pretty funny. So, Luis Murillo tweeted, "This one guy crying about not having three wives while having a pair of thighs around his neck to save his life is pretty ironic." And that's when Docky has her thighs around Yotaro's neck.
That's a great thing to end the podcast on.
Yes, I think so.
Thank you, Luis. That was great. Excellent.
So if you have your own Toonami talkbacks, please send them as. I want your theories on Ninja Kamui. I have asked our social media team to make two tweets so far asking for people's thoughts on where the story is going, and we got nothing. Come on, where's the fun in that?
It's just a theory, an anime theory.
Jeez. Anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast. We always appreciate your listenership. Be sure to share the podcast with your friends if you think they would be interested. We'd really like to have their listenership too. So until next time, we're punching out.
Murky day, murdering the ninjas away. On my way to where revenge is sweet. Can you tell me how to get to Ninja Kamui Street?
AKA the village hidden in the business district.